The following content is provided by MIT OpenCourseWare under a Creative Commons license. Additional information about our license and MIT OpenCourseWare in general is available at ocw.mit.edu.
Three more lectures to go, and if you look at my schedule, I should be starting talking about liquids. So I'm at least one lecture behind, and maybe even one and a half. But I still want to, at the end, talk about liquids. It's not too bad. One lecture is not too bad. If you think of what I have been talking, and now we're looking at the classical size effects, and I want to you now have an idea the difference between classical and quantum size effects. And when we do the key difference is when we do the transport, any quantity, for example, heat flux we're interested in, and what do we do, we sum up, this is always the starting point. We sum up all the quantum states, kx, ky, kz, and then distribution function, and times the velocity, and let's say if this is the x direction we're interested in, and times the quantity that's being transported. It's either the heat, which is the energy, or the charge. So if it's a heat flux, photons, the energy per photon is h omega, right? That's per photon, how many photons, and how fast they're propagating. And for heat flux, you divide by volume. So at the end, the density of states volume will cancel each other. So this is the starting point. And when we, if we do quantum size effects, so what you do is you calculate the new energy spectrum, and then most likely, if this is your x direction transport and this is a quantization direction y, and then you don't do your integration in the y direction, then you have to be careful because the energy separated far apart. And you can convert the summation in the kx, kz direction into integration. So that would be the approach if you do the quantum, and you will have the energy spectrum changed because the dispersion, the energy dispersion will change, right? And your density of states will change. And so this is the quantum. And what we are dealing in this chapter is really classical size effect, where I neglect the change in the energy dispersion. I still take the bulk, energy dispersion, the relationship between energy and wave vector, either for electron or for photon. And I'm looking at the effects of the boundary scattering. So if the particle go, because it can, in that case, it can go all directions, and it will hit the boundary, and this will reflect the particle. So, and in the last lecture, we already started from Boltzmann equation, and we obtained this differential equation, which is V dot Rg. G is the deviation from the equilibrium, and equals plus G equals minus tau, and the V dot RF0 plus FM, this is the spatial gradient and velocity gradient F0. So this is the equation, the Boltzmann equation, and the G is the deviation from equilibrium. And you can say in the last chapter, or when we deal with diffusion in bulk medium, we really just drop this term because this is very small when there's no constraints. And if we drop this term, we have, if let's say if this is zero, we have F equals F0. Let's say if this is the source term, S0, so plus S0. So we had the solution for diffusion problems. And with this F, you substitute back into either your heat flux expression or your charge flux expression or your momentum expression, you will derive the Fourier law, the Ohm's law, or Newton shear stress law, right? Now, the difference of what I'm doing now is to consider this term. This is because now the boundary affects the transport directly, the distribution function directly. When the mean free path, if the mean free path is larger than, let's say, this is the film thickness, then the carriers, either phonons or electrons or photons, molecules, they will collide with the boundary more often, and thus they will change the distribution F, right? So as long as I can find out this F, I can go back to substitute into this expression, find out whatever heat flux, current flux. So that's my philosophy there. And what I'm doing in this class is I want to first deal with when the transport is along the film plan, or if you think this is a wire or a film, I'm dealing with just a film, which is an easy situation. And then I'm going to look at the transport in the perpendicular direction. And we all start from the same equation here, but at the end, the mass turns out to be quite different because these two different directions. So let's first look at the transport along the film plan direction. And again, you can see once I find out the F, I can do either thermal conductivity by Fourier, thermal conductivity by electron, electric conductivity, or I can do Seebeck coefficient. All those transport gas molecules, all those transport properties you can calculate. So the K is to find out this F. And now for X direction, for along X direction, and let me just take a Fourier as an example. Fourier is, in some sense, simpler than electron because I don't need to consider the force. When I consider electron transport, I have to take into considering that force term. I carry one more term. So you can say if it's along the x direction, v dot g gradient R, and my real constraint is really in the y direction, dg dy, and I can drop the other term, vx dg dx. This is much smaller because the boundary that affects my transport is in the y direction, right? So I maintain only this term on the left. So what I have, my equation is Vy dg dy plus g equals, and then you can say since I'm considering a Fourier, so I have tau, and my transport is along the x direction. So if you look at that gradient, delta r f0, then because it's along the x direction, again, f0 is the let's say for Fourier is h bar omega kt kbt. This is the mass 1 Bose-Einstein distribution. So f0 is a function of x, right? Because t is a function of x. Okay? So what I have gradient f is really just the gradient df dt and dt dx. Right? No variation in the y direction because my transport is along the x direction. Okay? So I can write this as Vx df0 dt dt dx. And the point is, on the left-hand side, it's an equation that varies in the y direction. And on the right-hand side, it's only a function of x. So that makes the solution very simple, right? And this is the difference. I said the mass is very different if I consider transport along the y direction. And in that case, the right-hand side will be depend on y, and the left-hand side also depends on y, and my integration becomes more complex. So I could write this again as my S0, and I know this is only a function of x. And then I just integrate this, solve this equation. I want to find out the g, and eventually g is simply related to f, right? So once I have g, I know f. So you can say what's the solution? You have an equation, something, an equation like a dy, what are you familiar with this equation? I lost the symbol, right symbol for when you do the first order differential equation, right? So this is a constant because it's not a function of y. So I essentially have g minus s0 equals a constant to be determined minus exponential, times exponential minus y divided by vy. This is my solution, right? You can substitute this into the right-hand side. You'll see whether it satisfies the equation or not. Yes. Thank you. So tau vy.
And the last term should be elected.
Yes, this should be here. I should have tau. Thank you. That term? I'm considering full long, so there's no force. Right? I said if I do electron, I carry that term. Okay, so this is my solution, right? First order differential equation, how many boundary conditions I need? One. Well, that seems to be trouble. I'm considering a thin film, right? How come I got one boundary condition? Because I have two surfaces. Right? Both surfaces will influence the transport. And you have to realize that in this solution, Vy is a phase space variable, right? So Vy could be different values. Vy could be going positive, it could be going negative, right? So for each Vy value, I need a boundary condition. One boundary condition. I need only one, but I need for each Vy. And in fact, if you look at the... So this is at the point you have Vy, Vx, right? Of course, that means the real travel direction could be at an angle. And this angle could be from if this is depends on how you take, let's say this is a y direction, so this angle here is theta. Okay? So that theta can change from 0 to pi. And you need a boundary condition for each of the theta. Right? Okay? And for each of the theta, then if I typically, as approximation, I would like to treat two kinds of surface. One is a specular surface. The other is a diffuse surface. A specular means a surface, when a particle comes in, it bounces back at the opposite angle, same angle in reflection, incidence equals reflection. That's a specular. And diffuse is when it comes in, it has an equal probability of going all directions. That's a diffuse. Okay? Or I use a combination, a fraction is specular, a fraction is diffuse. So those are the typical boundary condition I will use. You say you can do better, yes. But determine exactly that distribution of scattering at the interface is not an easy thing to do. Okay, molecular dynamics may be one way to do it. Or you do electron, you do quantum reflection, but then you need to solve these wave equations with the realistic boundary conditions. So I have a specular and a diffuse limit, and I'm considering the diffuse boundary condition as in my solution, and I'll discuss the specular case later, okay? So you can say if it's diffuse, what I know is then what's leaving this surface is isotropic. And what's also leaving this surface is isotropic, right? So if it's isotropic, then it's the same as equilibrium is isotropic, right? Equilibrium distribution is the same in all directions. So if local temperature is Tx here, that local temperature will determine a local Bose-Einstein distribution, right? So that's isotropic. So what it means is that at this point, the one that goes this direction must be isotropic, and that isotropic must be the Bose-Einstein distribution, and same here, Bose-Einstein distribution. So what I have is then y equals 0, f equals f0, and this is for all the theta. What's my theta angle at y equals 0? This is y equals 0. So theta is 0 to 90 degree, right? That's all leaving this surface. So this is for theta from between 0 to 90 degree. And then that also means g equals 0, right? Y equals f0, g is f minus f0. So that's my boundary condition. And I need to specify one boundary condition, but I need to specify from 0 to 180 degree. I don't want to specify the other 90 to 180 degree at this boundary because I don't really know what's coming in. I know a diffuse surface, what goes out is isotropic, but I don't know what's coming in. So I can, rather than specifying this line degree, I can specify this surface, the 90 degree. So I do on two surfaces, y equals d, then this again, f equals 0, that also means g equals 0, and this is for theta between 90 to 180 degree. So those are my boundary conditions, right? Minus 90 degrees. Where is minus 90?
So at the bottom.
Here? Well, my theta is always measured from positive y direction. So this is a maximum, right? Then you say, how about going this way?
Yeah.
Well, that's really the phi. If you need to think about three-dimensional angle. So this is a theta, and this is a phi is 0 to pi. This is x. So that's the spherical coordinate, right? Theta phi as a Muller angle. So those are my boundary conditions. And I just apply this boundary condition to the solution. So what I have is I could write this. I can write the Vy as V times cosine theta, right? The component, the velocity component, projected in y direction. And you can see my solution for theta less than 0, smaller than pi over 2, then my solution is g equals 0. So I have what? I tell y equals 0. So I have g y theta equals s 0 minus exponential minus y v tau cosine theta minus 1. That's my solution. Because I basically, you can say if I substitute y equals 0, g equals 0, that means I get c equals minus s 0. C minus equals s 0, then g, I moved here, I actually have a negative sign. So I have minus here. Right? Okay? So that's my half of my solution. And the other half of the solution is when y equals d, so y equals d, you can say then what I have. My g equals 0, so my c equals minus s0 exponential d and v tau cosine theta. So that means g y theta equals I substitute back, so I have a minus s 0 exponential d minus y tau v cosine theta minus 1. So this is my solution. Right? I just substitute in. And I'm not going to give a plus minus sign just so that I know plus means it's going in the positive 0 to 90 degree. Minus is really from the outer surface coming back. So that's in the angle from pi to pi over 2. Okay? Right? So now I have the solution, and remember, once I have g, I have f equals f0 plus g. So I can go back, substitute into the expression for heat flux if I want to find out how much heat, or I can go do charge the molecules, depends on what problems you're dealing with and what you want to find out. So let's do the heat, right? So the heat transfer, the heat flux, I want to find out the heat flux at any point. Now, because F or G depends on Y, that also means at a different point of the cross-section, the heat flux will be different. So heat flux at a different point on the cross-section will be different because it's a function Y, right? So I have then the local heat flux. Again, I start with the kx, or in this case, I do vx, vy, vz, and h omega, v, and the x direction. So this is times f. That should give me the heat flux at the point. The same expression as I do diffusion, right? Except now the F is a lot longer. In the case of diffusion, the F is just F0 plus S. Now my F is F0 plus G, where the G are given by these expressions. You can see this exponential term are extra because the minus 1 term is just S0. This exponential term is the influence, represent the influence of the boundary. Right? So you put in the, let's convert, we can again from here going to convert into the integrals, right? So we have done that for diffusion treatment. And that conversion, I'm not going step by step anymore. I'm just going to write. So if you go to do the conversion, you'll find out this is the convert into density of states, all that. So here I have velocity or the energy from omega to 0 to omega maximum. And then I have, so this is the integration over omega. And then the next one is the integration over the solid angle. And that solid, so I have h bar omega vx f and density of states, but divided by 4 pi. That's, again, say we've shown this before. And then the d omega is the solid angle, which is sine theta d theta d phi. And so theta is from 0 to pi, and the phi is from 0 to 2 pi. And that's the conversion from here to the integration. Yes? We can do summation over V vector. If we do Folon, it's better to write that as a summation over V vector. If you do the molecules continuum, you do the velocity, and so, yeah. So all this is, as long as, once you become familiar, you do it interchangeably, okay? So this is the conversion. That's the same. We will do the same conversion even if we do the bulk diffusion problem, right? As I said, I'm dealing with a classical size effect. So there's no change in density of states. There's no change in energy dispersion. So I'm still summing up over all directions and converting regular into regular integration. Now, the difference, again, is that this f is no longer just f0 plus s0. It's f0 plus g. And again, the f0 is symmetric. It's always canceled. Symmetric, if it's symmetrical over all directions, doesn't contribute to your left flux. You can carry it. At the end, you will say it's 0. Okay. So let me just drop that 0. So this effectively, I can replace by g rather than f. Right? Because the f0, this is f is f0 plus g, and this integration over the angle will drop out to 0. Okay, so let's do that g, and I will 2 omega max, and you will notice that the one difference, if you remember all the details when I do diffusion, I just put my angle, when I do pure diffusion x direction, I take, this is the velocity propagation, this is theta, I do this theta. Now I switch my coordinate. I do this angle in the theta because you can say my I really have this Vy. I have to deal with Vy. And I just want to be simpler writing Vy. That's my theta, so it's cosine theta. Right? V times cosine theta. Otherwise, I would have to do sine theta cosine phi. So I want to use this coordinate. It's just simpler here. But as long you can do whatever coordinate if you are consistent, self-consistent. So that's Vx then. If I have, because I have this coordinate I'm taking, using the coordinate I'm taking, so Vx has to, this is a way, Vx has to project into sine theta, that's this, and then cosine phi, right? Vx because this projects into x direction. So Vx now is a little bit more complex. Vx is V sine theta cosine phi. Okay? And so I have d omega and 0 to 2 pi. And remember my g, you can see the g is different when I have 0 to pi, 2 pi, pi over 2 and pi over 2 to pi. So I have to split this integration into two parts. I have to split into 0 to pi over 2 and h bar omega and vx. Vx is v cosine phi sine theta. I already have it there. And g is a positive. You can say g is a minus s0. What is a minus s0? Here is a minus s0. Minus s0 has another vx, right? So I have to do the minus s0 is really tau. Vx is, again, v cosine theta, cosine phi sine theta. That's my this two term, and then the other two terms. So this is a df0 dt dt dx. And then I have that exponential, right? Look at that exponential. So this is a y tau v cosine theta minus 1. So this is my first term, and d theta d phi d omega is here. So that's the first term from 0 to pi over 2. You can write the second term, which will be, you can see I should use a bigger bracket. Okay, so the second term is pi over 2 to pi, and again, the h bar omega, and times vx is v, same cosine theta, sine theta, and now I have to do the g, what I have there, so I have minus tau v cosine phi sine theta and df0 dt dt dx. And then, see, the difference is just this inside the exponential, I have d tau v cosine theta minus 1 and d theta d phi. So this is my the integration I should do, right? I'm splitting this from 0 to pi over 2. I substitute in whatever g I have for this range in, and then for the other angle from pi over 2 to pi, I have a different solution for g I substitute in. So that's why I have two terms. Okay, this this is the actually the easiest size effect classical. Yes.
Cosine phi, the integral.
Yes. Thank you. And also, I missed the sine theta.
Right.
Sine theta here, I missed it. Here I have sine theta. That's from the solid angle. Sine theta, d phi is a solid angle. Yes?
It looks like you're going to get a heat flux of 0 at the boundaries.
It looks like, yes, boundary is 0. Because you look, let's see. Well, at least the ones that goes out is isotropic. If it's isotropic, there's no flux. The question is what comes in is usually not isotropic. So do I get zero really? I don't think of this term. You see, if I take a y equals zero, this is zero. That's an isotropic part. This is actually what comes into Y. This term is not zero. Okay. Right? You see, this term will not be zero. Okay? So at the boundary, yeah, this is actually, if you look at the solution, what physically it means is really, you can see here, Y times this one, that exponential. So what does that term, what this exponential means? So this is a Y at the boundary. So this is a Y location. And Y, this is really the distance. What it means is Y divided by V tau cosine theta. That's the distance. So because of scattering, V tau is the mean free path. V times tau is really the mean free path. So Y divided by cosine theta is the distance traveled, right? Y divided by cosine theta is this section, and then normalized to mean free path exponentially, because scattering means you have exponential loss of your carrier. So that's, say, in this, and this one, you have D minus Y because you started from the other boundary. So if this is your Y, D minus Y is this section, and then you divide by cosine theta again. So that would be the distance you traveled here. So without that, actually, I can sit there and just think about the physics and write down the solution without the going through the math. Yes?
Why don't you get zero on both?
Well, it's zero if it's isotropic in all, right? It's isotropic. If you see the one goes out, is isotropic, so it's zero. But what comes in is not isotropic. Right? If you look at this is what comes in here. This term, if you set y equals zero, that what comes in. In different direction have different travel distance, and different travel distance has a different amount of scattering because the mean free path, the scattering is the distance divided by mean free path exponential minus. Right? So this is the flux at the point Y, right? And you can say you can do the integration over phi easily because everything else doesn't depend on phi. It's just this cosine phi squared 0 to pi integration, right? Cosine phi squared 0 to pi, what is that? Huh? 1/2 and 0 to 2 pi is pi, right? So cosine phi squared, just to say 1 minus cosine 2 phi divided by 2, and cosine 2 phi is symmetric, so it's 1/2 times 2 pi. That's pi. So this term can be integrated. And the other term, theta, you have trouble because here is theta in the exponential, right? So that's the trouble. And you can say avoid this trouble by thinking that at the end, what you want to find out is a total flux. So total flux is really integration of 0 to dqy dy and divide by d. That's the average flux. If I don't do the divide by d, it's just a total heat transfer rate, not the flux. That's how much through the whole thickness, right? Okay? So this is a total heat transfer rate. And then you can say you can exchange the order of integration. You exchange this sign with d. That will... So you can integrate exponential. You can't integrate this cosine because it's in the denominator. But you can integrate it over y because it's in the numerator, right? Exponential minus x dx is exponential minus x integration, right? So you can integrate it over y, but you can't integrate it over theta explicitly. So if you do this one, you can exchange the order, you actually can integrate y out. Okay? And if you, I'm going to jump because there's too much math to write. And I'm going to write down the final, if you do this. So what I will do is you can see phi cosine squared, you get the pi sine theta, sine theta, sine theta. Three sine theta cubic. So what I do here, I have cosine theta. So I let cosine theta equals mu. That's very often in this kind of integration simple people use. And then sine theta d theta equals minus d mu is because it's minus d cosine theta. Right? Then sine cubic d theta is just 1 minus mu squared d mu minus. Because sine theta squared is 1 minus cosine theta squared. Okay, so those were the math I will be using. If you go through, that's the math you'll be using. And then you exchange the order of integration. And so after you do that, let me write down what you will get. So you will get at the end, so you can pull the dt dx out. So you will have minus 1/4 dt dx. And then inside is 0 omega max tau v squared and density of states omega and d omega. So this will be, that's more like a regular thermal conductivity term. And then what we have is two term, because these two terms. So I have 0 to 1, 1 minus mu squared d mu. And I have the mean free path mu exponential cosine mu minus mu mean free path minus d. So this is my first term. And my second term is 0 to 1, 1 minus mu squared d mu and minus gamma mu 1 minus exponential cosine mu minus d. Where this cosine, so gamma is the tau v, that's the mean free path. Cosine is just normalized thickness d divided by gamma. Okay, so the problem is you can't quite integrate this out because mu is cosine theta. You don't have, it looks like a very simple exponential, but you don't have analytical expression for this integral. So we define exponential integral function. This is a definition. Cosine equals 0 to 1 mu n minus 2. So this is the nth order. And this is the exponential minus cosine mu d mu. So this is just an nth order exponential integral function. Exponential integral function of order n. And this is actually a standard function. There's some tables in the old times you list. People list the values of those integrals. So because I think I have, there's really a negative sign. Otherwise, I would not get that negative because the exponential is negative itself. So with that, what I can say is, you can see here, this is your Fourier law. dt dx is your Fourier law term, right? The rest is, this should be minus k times d dt dx, because d is the thickness of the film. I'm giving the total heat transfer over the whole cross-section, assuming the depth is 1, right? So this is from here, I can go to do the get the effective thermal conductivity of the film. So I have the film thermal conductivity divided by bulk. Okay, the bulk is really 1/3 tau v squared d, and oh, I'm missing df0 dt. df0 dt, so this is like 1/3 of that gives me the bulk thermal conductivity. So what I have is if I assume that this is really independent of wavelength frequency, only this depends on frequency. So if mean free path is independent of omega, so I get this ratio of thermal conductivity is 1 minus 3/8 thickness, 1 minus 4 exponential, the function third order exponential function, fifth order exponential function. So this is the expression for the reduced thermal conductivity of the film. So you can see this term will always be less than, larger than 0. So the thermal conductivity of film will be smaller than thermal conductivity of the bulk. Okay? And if you plot the typical solution as a function, this is a dimensional, non-dimensional thickness, right? Here is d divided by mean free path. This will be your thermal conductivity divided by the bulk. And a typical function will be going to bulk. Right? And this is, of course, when the order is close to 1. Around 1, not much larger than 1, you recover the bulk. So the film is thick, you get the bulk properties. And this will be the same if you do the electric conductivity divided by bulk. It's the same solution. Okay. So when the physically what happens is when the two films are getting thinner, you can see if the transport, if there's no boundary, this is the mean free path of the electron or photon, they go this far, right? If there's no boundary. But now with the boundary, what happens once they hit the wall, because I'm assuming it's diffuse. So some of this now can no longer propagate in the forward direction, they will go backward. So effectively, you are shrinking the mean free path of the carriers. And that's why the property thermal conductivity, effective thermal conductivity or electric conductivity will be reduced. Okay? Right? The mean free path of photon, k equals 1/3 c v gamma. Well, you go to not quite simple. Thank you for asking. 1/3 c as a function of frequency, v as a function of frequency, gamma as a function of frequency, d omega. Right? Because if you do photon, it's a very dispersive. Remember the photon dispersion is this is a longitudinal, acoustic optical, right? And because you can see velocity is really the each frequency, the velocity, so it's very much changing, right? You take the gradient, that's your group velocity. It's a function of frequency. At zone boundary is 0. This is close to speed of sound. Either zone, so long wavelength is close to speed of sound. So very often people just take a speed of sound, they take the specific heat, they go to estimate mean free path. But that's an underestimation of mean free path because at the zone boundary, this velocity is zero. And specific heat, optical photon, you can say, can contribute a specific heat, but the group velocity is small. So some as a compromise, you can just put this. You say, I want to find the average. So I take this out. That's the average. And then one-third C omega V omega D omega. So that's one way to estimate the mean free path.
So mean free path is can drag from the kind of tip.
Yeah, you
we should know that.
Well, yeah, there's no real good way to calculate from because most of this is just a model. There's no good way, and you can go in theory to do first principle molecular dynamics simulation, for example, and but there hasn't been a lot of successful examples. So in the 60s, people done a lot of work. Same in electric engineer, it's most of the time fading to extract the scattering parameters, and then using that you can further to do those analyses. So there are some uncertainty with this, actually quite a large uncertainty. When I first did my paper, I used this one. Turns out that even in the worst case, I couldn't fit the experimental data. And I had to go to here to fit the experiment to extract a longer mean free path. Then I can fit the experimental data.
What is the order of?
Well, this is a good, it's material dependent. First chapter, we said the air molecules at room temperature, that's about 0.1 micron, air molecules. Photons in most materials, crystalline material. Okay, if you take a silicon as an example, silicon in crystalline material, if you use this one, this expression, you ask the mean free path, it will be only about 400 angstrom, 40 nanometer. But if you use this expression, you'll get about 2,000 to 3,000 angstrom. And there are experiments showing that 40 nanometer is just a too small estimation. Few thousand angstrom is a reasonable estimation. And then in metals, say the metal mean free path, you don't estimate the metal mean free path electron from here. Why? Because the specific heat is mostly photon. You really need to estimate the metal mean free path from the electric conductivity. Okay, there's similar expression for go to electric conductivity, how is it related to mean free path. So you, from electric conductivity, you estimate metal mean free, so your semiconductor. Okay, and typically those value metal, I estimate the electron is about in gold, for example, is about 10 nanometer. Pretty short. Okay. So those are the examples for transport a diffuse surface. Now I'm going to ask you, if the surface is specular, you do the same treatment, what you will get? Increase? Why is it increasing? Well, why then it's increased compared to bulk. Why it will increase compared to bulk? Okay, increase. Okay, so it's larger than diffuse. That's right. But you don't get above bulk.
Yeah.
Classical size effect, you don't get above bulk. Okay, you see the okay. You have mirror reflection. Originally, it's this much that will get scattered. Mirror reflection just means here, this point will get scattered. So your light flux is still the same in the forward direction. So you get the equal to bulk. You can prove that using the boundary condition. Okay. So often, if you do the specular, you just say the incident equals reflection. Using that boundary condition, you can show that at the end, after you do all the integration, you actually recover to bulk. Everything else cancel. Or you can do a combination specular and diffuse. Okay, again, write down the boundary condition. And this is a very your ability to write down the boundary condition is actually very important if you deal with this type of problems. One example is in gas dynamics. People often do, it turns out that in electron transport or photon transport, we call it the partially specular or partially diffuse. Partially diffuse. And in gas dynamics, it's called the partially accommodating. So partially accommodating. It turns out that it's all same. And also, you go to electrical engineer, although say sometimes partial spec or partial diffuse, electric engineers sometimes also call momentum conserving, momentum non-conserving. Okay? There are different names. Momentum conserving, non-conserving. Okay, so what would you do? So you're really specifying what goes out, right? What goes out, the fraction of particles goes out. And if I have, okay, so in specific direction, mu, and this is y equals 0, right? And mu is a, so if it's a specular, this is a, how much the fraction of specular. And that should equal to really minus 0. What comes in? Minus mu, that's the, right? So this is a mu theta. This is a, comes in is a minus mu because it's a 90 degree plus, right? Or 180 degree minus theta. If you see this theta, what comes in is really this theta, right? So this is a minus mu, 0. That's what comes in from, so this is specular. And then what's the diffuse part? The diffuse is just whatever all integration of all that comes in. This is all that comes in. And mu, d mu, it's just to say the flux of all comes in. And then you have to divide by the half. I think it's pi or 2 pi, I forgot. Not pi or 2 pi. It's a factor of 1 half. So you would do a factor of 2. Because at the end, you should get a, so this is a 1 minus p. That's the, this is a how much specular, this is a how much diffuse. You see, diffuse is a, you integrate all that comes in, you integrate the flux of all comes in, and then you equally divide into all directions. Okay? So if you could write this boundary condition, you solve for partial diffuse, partial specular. And people, you can do that for gas molecule or for electron photons. Okay, this is just a gas molecule. It's called accommodation coefficient. And the electron photon often we call it the specularity parameter or photon. And it turns out that most of this research started with Maxwell and Lewson in gas dynamics. So gas dynamics actually has the best knowledge in this area, because that's the earliest time people look at verify the phenomenon, size effects. And of course, you can this solution. There's a this specific solution for transport along the film. It's also called the Fuchs-Sonderhammer solution. So this are the I erased it. Already. So it's called Fuchs-Sonderhammer solution. Okay? And this Fuchs-Sondheimer was really dealing with electron transport. And now, let me turn to the perpendicular direction. That's the parallel direction. We want to now look at the perpendicular direction. And for perpendicular direction, you can see for the parallel direction, I said it's a simple, relatively simple at least, because this S0 is a function of X, or your differentiation is a function of Y, right? So this solution of this differential equation is a lot complicated. And now let me just erase one half and compare if you do Y direction. Okay, I want to deal with transport along Y direction. And there are lots of problems like this. You have heat conduction between two parallel plates. Rarefied gas. When the parallel plates becomes very small, rarefied gas heat conduction. Right? Or radiation between two parallel walls where you have a medium in between that will scatter photons. Or you have a thin film, you pass a current through that film. Right? Electric engineers call that the double heterojunction. Or you do the thin film when you have heat flows. So all this problem, again, you can treat under the framework, the same framework here, as long as you are neglecting quantum effects. Okay? So it's the same philosophy. I want to deal well now the transport in this direction, Y direction. And but the problem is now my temperature is a function of Y. It's not a function of X anymore. And that's created a problem in solution. So now I look at my differential equation. Okay, this left-hand side is still, the size effect is still emphasized in the Y direction. So I have G, VY, DG, DY plus G. That's the same. The problem is in the source. Now is tau VY DF 0 DT DT DY. And this is a function of Y. S0 now is a function of Y. Right? That's a complication. Because it's a function of Y, when you solve it, you can no longer treat it as a constant. So I can no longer, this is a, how would you solve an equation where there's a source as a function Y? It's an inhomogeneous first order partial differential equation, ordinary differential equation. Right? You first solve it as if it's a homogeneous equation, right? If you solve as S0 equals 0, what you get is G equals C exponential minus Y tau, I'm sorry, there is tau VY. That's your homogeneous equation solution. And because your equation is inhomogeneous, so you want to find a particular solution, so you get your GCY exponential minus Y. This is your guess. You guess an inhomogeneous solution. You plug in into the ordinary original equation, you're trying to find CY. Right? So let's plug in. You plug in the solution, what do we have? Is tau VY, so what I get is tau VY exponential minus Y tau VY DC D dy, and the other g term will cancel the other differentiation. Trust me, if you do know this, this is s0y. So this will gives me the equation I need to solve for c, and that means my c equals, I move this everything, s0 tau vy, and exponential positive y tau vy, and then I have to integrate, so I have, this is my integration limit to y, whatever integration y0 plus c at y0. That's my c. Okay? Right? So you can, then you go to substitute into your with this c, you find that your solution for yg is c y0 exponential minus y tau vy. That's what I have here. This one, c y0 times that plus y0y, s0 is a function of y, tau vy exponential. Now, this is a dy integration, I forgot, right? So this is an integration over, this should be dummy integration variable from z to y. And here, that y is not a dummy, so I have minus y prime tau vy and dy prime. So this is my solution. Okay. Again, you see, this seems to be a little bit complex, but there is a physical meaning. What it means? I'm looking at my distribution function at this point, y point, and you can see it's an influence. This one is the influence from the wall. This is a source term, influence of a source term. So influence from the wall from here into this specific direction you're dealing with. So this is the distance, right? So here is, if you think about what is this, is exponential, same as we said we had before, tau gamma cosine theta, right? So here is, this is a y, and the cosine theta, y cosine theta is this distance, right? So the first term represent, if you have a boundary condition at the wall, how much is reduced along this path length because the mean free path scattered inside the scattered, right? That's the first term. And the second term is if you have a source, okay, this is, should be source at the prime because this is a y prime. If you have a source at the y prime, right? Because the source is in everywhere, inside. So at this source point, you generate a signal. You generate, because of scattering, the emission of the medium, and then say, now this additional source, when you travel from y prime to y, that distance you traveled is y minus y prime. Y minus y prime divided by cosine theta, that's inside this vy. And again, it's scattered. So that's how much is scattered. So basically, this solution is really telling me at the end that the local distribution is made of the parts from boundary, made of the parts from inside the medium, but at other points. And this is a difference of major difference from the diffusion problem. Diffusion problem, Q equals minus K gradient of T. It's local gradient, right? It doesn't depend on exactly, explicitly the value in other points. It just depends on local gradient. But here, you can see the function at y could depend on explicitly on the values of other points. Right? This is a difference of path integration, path dependent problem, versus this is a local path independent problems. Diffusion problem is only dependent on the local gradient. But the radiation or ballistic transport or this in between that could depend on the whole path length. And that's why the problem is a little bit more complex, because diffusion is just a local, and when you do path integration, it's much more, it depends on the, so the temperature of one point really depends on explicitly the value at all other points. That will make the problem a lot more complex. So that's the this is the general solution, and of course you follow the same strategy. You say we're going to do it for because that's a first order differential equation. I do it for both positive boundary condition going leaving the bottom surface and the other surface. I have two boundary conditions because say I need to specify boundary condition for all the angles. Right, so I have two boundary, and I specify boundary conditions at y equals 0, and theta larger than 0 to 2 pi. So this is what leaves the surface. Okay, and again, say if you do diffuse, your g equals 0, and y equals d. Theta pi over 2, and then you got the g equals 0. So from there, you can see, you can find out what is C0, that's the first boundary condition. You should say this is a y0, then should be 0. And this is just zero because see it's isotropic. So what I have is C zero equals zero, and similarly, if I do the other boundary condition as D equals y equals D G equals zero. So y equals d, g equals 0, then I get c d exponential minus d over tau vy plus then I need to say this is okay. This... In that case, what I have is then y0, I take y0 equals d, then this term is from d to d, so this is 0. So again, I have, say, d is 0. Okay? So after I solve for this c, I'm going to find out, that's the complication. I have to find out temperature distribution for this problem. Otherwise, see, for the transport along the film plane, I don't need to find out temperature distribution because I have effective thermal conductivity because I can pull dT dx out, right? But in the y direction, I cannot pull this out. It's a path integral. Okay? So what I have to do is, after I solve for the C, I'm going to solve for the heat flux at any one location, Qy. Right? And again, this heat flux must be, you start with the triple summation, and you convert into the integration. So 0 to omega max d omega, and theta to pi d phi, and theta pi d theta. So this is all the angular integration, h bar omega, and vy, and then times your f, and density of states divided by 4 pi. That's the same familiar expression, and this is the starting point, right? And then you have to express this f in terms of g. Again, say f0 cancels, drops out. So you substitute that. You can say, again, you will split this into two terms, right? Because your g has two, the positive and negative. So g is for this direction is g positive, and for the negative direction, your solution is g negative. So you, again, substitute this into the expression here, and you get, say, expression for gy, but at the end, qy, but at the end, you need to solve for temperature distribution. Right? This does not give you a temperature distribution. You don't have the closed problem yet. So you have not closed the problem. What do you do? Yeah? The tool for this is if you have a steady state problem, Q is a constant. Right? Q is a constant. It's not a function, y. That's different from the transport along the film plane direction. Along the film plane direction, different points carry different flux. Right? But perpendicular to the direction, if it's a steady state, this mass flux or heat flux must be constant, same cross section. It's a steady state problem. Right? So that also means dq dy equals zero. So you take a derivative of this, you substitute in, and that's at the end, you'll get the equation determine the temperature distribution. Okay, let me write down this equation. I will have to skip the math. You can see the math writing is very complex. And let me write down a Lie's integral equation. If you go through all the math, and this integral equation actually is very Lie's. So this is a 2 theta eta equals E2 eta plus 0 cosine theta eta prime and E1 eta minus eta prime d eta prime. That's the type of integral equation you will get. Let me explain what are the symbols. This is, I think, most of you probably the first time see an integral equation. Right? Or do you know whether really integral equation? You can see what you want to find out is inside the integrand. Right? It's not a, like a differential equation where you can take finite difference. And this theta is my long dimensional. Theta is really is the long dimensional. You can see if you do is a temperature as a function y, if you do temperature, this is the temperature on the second surface, temperature on the first surface, theta y. Okay? And if you do thermal radiation, that will be the black body sigma t force power. Or if you do electrical transport, you will be like, actually, in that case, I think you have to be very careful because you have to couple to the Poisson equation. In fact, if you look at my notes, I have not been able to find out the electrical engineers deal with this problem in a rigorous way. As people in the field of radiation, gas dynamics has deal this in a very rigorous way. But I don't see, I haven't found the literature people in the electrical engineering. Because in the electrical engineering, you have to couple that to the Poisson equation for the electrical field. So there's a one additional complication. Okay? And so that's the, so this one gives you long dimensional temperature distribution. And well, eta is just y divided by mean free path. Cosine is just the thickness divided by mean free path. And this exponential function E1, E2 we already introduced. So you can see you get an integral equation, and you need to solve this integral equation to find the temperature distribution. How would you solve an integral equation? If you know how to do the numerical integration, you know how to solve it numerically. There's no easy way. You have to solve numerically. So you split this into numerical integral summation, and then you set up your equation to every point of this. You get a full matrix. It's not like when you solve a diffusion equation, you get a straight diagonal matrix. Okay, so that will be the major difference. And if I have time, I'll spend a little bit of time in the next lecture to explain how to solve it. But if you go to look at the typical temperature distribution, if you solve it, this will be the as a function of y. That's a long dimensional, so this is y divided by d. And this will be your theta. So if the mean free path is very long, this is a 1, this is 0. So if mean free path is very long, that's a linear. So this is, not the mean free path. If this cosine approach infinite, so that means the thickness of the film is very large compared to the film thickness, to the mean free path. You get the diffusion limit. That would be the result you get if you solve the heat conduction equation, Fourier heat conduction equation. And then in the other limit, you will get flat. And this is when cosine to zero. That's when there is no, the mean free path is so long compared to film thickness, there's no scattering inside. What does this mean? And this just means quickly, in this case, there's no scattering. So what you have is energy come out at the temperature T1 from this surface. There's another energy coming out from the T2. There's no equilibrium inside. No equilibrium inside. If you want to define a temperature, you just say, what's the energy of the two group? That's just this average summation. So it's really a long equilibrium case. Express it in an equilibrium concept. That's a problem when you go to this narrow structure. Not often you don't have equilibrium. Yes?
Does it look like in between?
What's look like in between is you got a, typically you have a small curvature, a pretty much straight at the boundary. Say through the whole region there. Yeah. Well, you can think about it that way, but not necessarily give the right results. And so you can use try your diffusion, right, as function y, yeah. But say particular, those concept is no longer really universal concept. The property is a size dependent property, so it's really depends on your structure. And what's the fundamental concept property are more like a relaxation time, all those are the fundamental mean free paths. Okay. So I will probably use a half lecture next time to finish this, and then I want to discuss on liquids.